Loved in Christ, brothers and sisters in the Lord. We, if you have been going to the Agapus services, celebrated our last Agapus service last night. If you thought, we are still celebrating it this morning. This is called the Saturday of the Agapus. And you'll notice that we're singing many of those hymns again this morning, not only in our orthro service, but also in our divine liturgy. We celebrate the place that Mary, the Mother of God, has in our life and in our worship. I'd like you to consider with me the setting of the gospel reading this morning in Luke's gospel. Says that it happened as they went that Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. It wasn't Mary who welcomed Jesus, it was Martha. Martha is listed first here and some other places when Mary and Martha are together. I have a feeling that Martha was the older sister. I don't know if any of you grew up in families with older siblings or with the oldest brother or oldest sister. But the oldest tends to take charge. And I see Martha as one who is there, and she says, well, we have to welcome Jesus into our house, and you know that's my responsibility. I'm the eldest. I represent the authority of our house here. So she welcomes Jesus. Not that Mary was against it, certainly not. But Martha took charge. And then it says she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Do you get the setting? Martha's one who takes charge. And the younger sister, I can picture myself here. I am the middle child, but I can picture myself saying, okay, Lon, you take care of things. And by the way, if I tried to take care of something, he would probably say, you know, you just sit down. So Mary sat down, and she listened to Jesus. At this point, Martha starts to think, you know, I may be in charge and all, but when it comes to getting everything ready, setting the table, you know, doing all the kitchen work, all of the preparations for the meal and all, I think it's time for Mary to help. It's one thing to sit at Jesus' feet, but there's a time and place for that. And right now, I'm busy. There's a lot of work to do. And so she goes. And you see Jesus and Mary just sitting there. And Martha says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me here all alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. I'm quoting the scripture. Tell her to help me. I'm left all by myself doing all the work. You know, we might think that Martha really was wasting her time. And she should have been there with Mary at Jesus' feet. But that's really not what Jesus is saying. You know, throughout the Gospels, we find that women are praised for the work that they do in helping Jesus. The myrrh-bearing women and those women who accompanied Jesus when he went through those 3 years of his ministry, taking care of him, feeding him, bringing him into their homes and following him, just taking care of him. Matter of fact, we find that in the book of Romans, Paul, when he ends his letter, he begins a list of those whom he singles out for special recognition, and he says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. A little paragraph dedicated just to Phoebe. Why? Because she is one like Martha, who is there helping, making sure that things go on. And then he goes on. This is Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 16. Now verse 3, the next one he tells us of is Priscilla. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their home. Priscilla and Aquila. Now, Priscilla is the woman. I used to think that, well, she's always listed first. She's not always listed first, but often she is. She's the wife of Aquila. So the Apostle Paul recognizes these important women, Phoebe and Priscilla. And then I'd like to back up to Acts chapter 16, and guess who the first convert in Europe is? Does anyone know? Who is the first convert in Europe? Remember, the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey went through the churches in Galatia that he had established, and then he headed west. And he had that Macedonian call. Remember, he was forbidden by the Lord to go into, Bithynia and Mysia. And then he had this vision into the night. And there was this Macedonian man saying, come over here, we need you, come over here. And so Luke and Paul and those with him thought, you know what, and Silas, you know, I think that's the Lord telling us we need to go over to Macedonia. So they crossed over into Europe, into Macedonia. And who's the first convert?
Lydia.
Yes, Lydia. And it says here, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. Now, she isn't about to have Paul and Silas and Luke to come to her house and just sit at their feet. No, she's going to serve them. Lot like Martha. And then, of course, there is also in Luke 21, verse 9, while you're doing so well, who do you think it is in Luke 21, verse 9, when Paul is on his way to Jerusalem? And that's his last, at the end of his third missionary journey. He stops at the house of Philip. And who are the ladies there? Does anyone remember? Philip had four
daughters who prophesied.
They were very involved in the work of God. But having said that, let's back up to our gospel. And even those who dedicate themselves so faithfully to the work of the ministry can become distracted. It says that Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus with a bad attitude. You know, Lord, don't you care? Really, don't you care at all? I'm so busy, I'm doing all this work, and it's just me, you and all myself. There is a time when we need to get out of the kitchen. There's a time for doing that kind of work, but there's also a time to be quiet, to sit at the feet of Jesus. And I believe that those times are worship. This, at least this is when we need to get out of the house, we need to stop being so busy. I remember that long ago that a lady from the church in Muskegon where I'm serving yet, it actually there's a lady who's visiting there, so you can't really tell anything about it. Other than that, it was there that this happened there. She said to me, you know, well, I don't get to go to church as often as you probably think I should, because I had said something in that service about going to church, being very faithful and worship. She said, but I worship during the week and on Sundays. I dedicate myself to going to the mission and helping feed people who are poor, people who are on the street. So I think that's my offer of worship to God. I disagreed with her. Sometimes I can be pretty bold. I said, you know what? I don't think that's right. You have plenty of time when you can do that, but God doesn't expect us to put those kinds of things in place of worship. We need to be in His halls on worship. Maybe you can take turns. Maybe you can have someone else do it one week, but make sure that the priority is to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear His word and listen to Him. So we need to dedicate ourselves to both the service of the Martha and to the quiet, intimate fellowship of Mary. May God give us grace to do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.